Good evening, everyone. A tour guide was showing a tourist around Washington, D.C. The guide pointed out the place where George Washington supposedly threw a dollar across the Potomac River. "That's impossible," said the tourist. "No one could throw a coin that far." "You have to remember," answered the guide, "a dollar went a lot further those days." And we could say that about our pounds and pennies, of course, couldn't we? Let alone our euros. The official rate of inflation is at the moment about 5%, depending on how you calculate it. But it feels to me, I don't know about you, but it feels to me like prices have gone up by a whole lot more than that. What's more, we have fewer pounds and pennies to throw over the river. At least that's how it feels, doesn't it? The world economic crisis is beginning to bite as government spending is cut, unemployment rises, incomes are frozen, and banks and even nations teeter on the brink of collapse. Along with that comes the fear of increased crime, riots on our streets, and for the first time in centuries, the next generation looks forward to being poorer than the one before. A recent newspaper article reads, "Remember the future? The future was always a better place in which one's children could look forward to better education, higher incomes, and better homes. They would have more money to spend on luxuries, take more holidays, and at the end of it all enjoy a longer and more secure retirement. Unfortunately, the future ain't what it used to be. Parents belonging to the baby boomer generation, the one born between 1946 and 1962, find themselves in the novel and uncomfortable position of having to explain to their offspring why life is going to get tougher." Merry Christmas, everybody! Ho, ho, ho! But I want to ask, is it actually such a terrible thing to be a bit poorer? Is it such a terrible thing to be a bit poorer? By which I do not mean, is it a good thing to be unemployed or lose your house or to struggle to keep your home warm or feed your children or to face riots in the streets? I don't mean that as if that was a good thing. Of course, that kind of poverty is a bad thing. I mean, is it so bad a thing to have a bit less cash to splash around? Is it such a bad thing to have to learn to enjoy what we already have and learn to wait a bit before we get something new? Is it such a bad thing for life to perhaps be a bit tougher? I don't think it is. Our society has been founded on a false principle that happiness and human well-being are all about getting richer all the time. We say we don't believe that, of course. But the fact is, that's the way our lives and our lifestyles have been set up and structured for the last 50 years. So maybe the present financial crisis will at least help us realize that there's more to life and well-being than stuff. Here is the radical alternative to materialism, the radical alternative to the fear of poverty and the love of wealth. "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich." Not, of course, that literal poverty was the point of it. Jesus lived an average, humble, everyday lifestyle for his day. The point is spiritual poverty. God the Son gave up the glories of heaven and embraced the limitations of earthly existence for us. And why did he do that? He made himself poor so that we might be rich. Truly rich. Rich in the way that matters. He did it to lift us from the limitations of an earthbound life, from the poverty of a life that cannot see beyond the next dollar if we're poor, or the next $1 billion if we're a Chelsea fan or something like that. It doesn't matter how rich or poor we are. If we live for money, we are in poverty. We are utterly broke, in fact. God is not impressed by wealth, nor limited by poverty. It is our stock with him that counts. And you know, spiritually speaking, because of our sin, our credit rating with God is zero in his bank, triple Z rating, isn't it? But Christ gave up his heavenly wealth, his heavenly status, as the ultimate bailout to pay off our spiritual debt and to bring us into his credit with God. Through faith in him, we have spiritual riches beyond calculation. That translates in this life into peace, joy and love, happiness and contentment with our lot that is not dependent on our circumstances. Likewise, compassion and generosity with others, and so much more besides. There are real spiritual benefits here and now that you cannot buy with money, but come through faith in Christ. And in eternity, an inheritance awaits beyond the reach of the bankers and the brokers, taxation or inflation to destroy. Friends, if you invest your life and your hope in Jesus Christ, you are rich beyond imagination, and nothing can take that wealth away from you. Many people in the Bible had great financial acumen, you know. Noah, for example, he was had great financial acumen. He floated his stock very successfully. Solomon built up his capital, and John the Baptist gained a lot of interest at the bank. Cain proved able to make a killing, and Moses gave his staff a raise. Others were less successful. Samson lost all his fringe benefits. Peter needed bailing out several times. And as for Adam, his position was far too exposed. He just could not cover his liabilities. But Christ is unique. Unlike all the bankers of our world, he made himself poor that we might be rich. Unlike all the bankers of the world, he took our debt upon himself that we might share in his riches. If he deals like that, he'll never get a job at the Royal Bank of Scotland. Financially, everyone would say he's a clown. Yet you know, we are so much better off with our lives invested in him than in the city. So if this Christmas, the next one, or a whole generation of Christmases to follow, if they are just a little bit more modest than they were before, if the next generation is perhaps just a little bit wealthier, less wealthy than the previous one, that is no great disaster. Not if it opens our eyes to our spiritual poverty without him and the spiritual wealth we have in Christ our Saviour. This could be the richest Christmas you and I ever enjoy if we invest our lives in him.